Hello guys, and welcome to another episode of The Source with Don and...
No.
Every time, I can't help myself.
You have to. Don and Till, welcome guys.
Babe, how's your day today?
Not too bad. How's yours going?
I can see the podcast voice is still going.
I'm trying hard. I hope you guys appreciated my last episode's voice. I've been listening to a few different podcasts and picking up on their voices. I feel like naturally I'm a very like enthusiastic voice goer. And I hate that. I want to be chill, calm, collected.
But I like your like high energy.
Bubbly.
Yeah.
I still sound bubbly now. No, it's just nicer on the ears, I think.
Babe, I just want you to be the best version of yourself.
Thanks for listening, guys. Welcome back to another
makes you feel good
episode. Baby, this makes me feel good. I feel like I'm not losing control of what I'm saying. Sometimes I just get so passionate and just go crazy on the mic.
Well, I think it's important.
We can't go crazy.
No, well, I can go crazy.
You can.
I know Till's thinking about this because our whole mission this year is just to provide as much value for everyone in our lives as much as physically possible. So,
do you know what? I have started journaling, guys. So I've been working on my morning routine. You guys would have heard if you listened to previous pods, I would just wake up, check my phone, do some emails, blah, blah, blah. No morning routine. But it's only been a couple of days, but I've been trying to wake up at 6 a.m. and I will read my one page of The Daily Stoic, which is a book by Ryan Halliday. It's like just stoic. Oh, I can't pronounce it. You guys know what I mean.
I was going to try, but I was like, the book is called Stoic. That book, that word.
The Daily Stoic is a book and it is like a collection of daily passages that you read. And they're from like the olden times. So there's the passage and then there's kind of an explanation of what it means underneath. But it's really good. It's really great at just like learning to control your emotions and understanding like what's important in life. You just read one page a day. I've read it for like 4 years over and over again.
The funny thing here is we're always trying to find ways to elevate our lives and update. It's like iPhone updates. You know, we always have to update something in our lives. And I think the important point here is this is not a New Year's resolution for you. I heard a comment the other day in a podcast where someone was talking about, you know, not participating in New Year's resolutions because you shouldn't have to wait for January 1st or January to change something about your life.
Yeah. I didn't start until like January 14th or something. I know. But so I wake up, I read my one page. I drink my OxyShred, which is my pre-workout. God, I've been taking OxyShred for so long. I swear. I'm half OxyShred, half Bill's breakfast. OxyShred, and then I do some journaling. So I've been using the 5-minute journal. And I think I've graduated from it already. Like, the 5-minute journal was like good for beginners. There's like things I'm grateful for, things that would make today really good and a positive quote or something. And it's just like it's a small page. I've run out of room. Like I am journaling my thoughts out and I'm going to need a bigger journal. But the point of this conversation is my quote that I've been writing down is calmness is my superpower. Thank you to Kim Kardashian because that's her quote. But like, I love her calm energy. I really love her calm energy. And also, who else has calm energy? Larsa from Real Housewives of Miami. She does have calm energy.
She does, but you're putting the two of them in the same
I understand. No, but what I'm saying is I think Larsa learned it from Kim because they used to be besties. Larsa, considering her environment and considering the women that she... Yeah, the attacks that she gets and the women that she... Just think about it. The women that she has to deal with.
We're talking about Real Housewives
of Miami. Yeah. Yes. So Larsa Pippen is Kim's ex-best friend, you know, a couple of years back. But if you guys watch Miami, you'll know, like, there's some really loud personalities. Larsa finds herself in the center of a lot of shit. She's so calm.
Is inspiring in how to deal with problems because it is the best way to deal with shit.
It's true, though. You would never have picked it, but when I'm journaling, I'm thinking of Kim Kardashian and Larsa Pippen, and calmness is their superpower. And I'm really trying to have calmness be mine too. So I feel like my voice is helping me achieve my daily journaling goal.
Which, if you listen to the podcast, is a bit frustrating for me because when I need to have a rant and a wit.
In the last episode, yeah.
Till bring out this calm and I'm like, okay, babe.
Calmness is too soon.
Now is not the calm. Did not bring out the sound bath. Let's bring out the drums and have a...
Back to my morning routine. So we're doing the 5-minute journal, and then I've been going outside and doing this stretch routine. Actually, you told me you were going to do that with me this weekend. I'm holding you to it. Oh, it's not the weekend. But on the weekend, we're going to do it. And I've been doing this stretch routine. It's an 11-minute stretching for beginners. And that really makes me sound like I'm like a 90-year-old woman, like needing to do a beginner's stretch routine. I am not flexible. Like, I could hardly even cross my legs. So I have been doing this stretch routine, 11 minutes outside. I get a bit of sun. If the sun's out, I get a bit of fresh air. It's really great. I do that, jump on the Peloton, and then I check my phone, take my phone off sleep mode and check my phone. I have my phone on me because like I need to like document it, take pictures, et cetera, make a TikTok, you know, but I'm not reading what everyone is sending to me until I finish my Peloton. Then I jump on the treadmill, I do my steps, I do my emails, I check my social media, I do all of that, wear my LED face and neck mask. It feels good. I feel so proud of myself that I'm now kind of getting into this routine. Although I do have PT some mornings and I can't do this routine before, so I've got to work out a little in-between routine for my PT days.
So that's a big morning. That's a lot you have to get through in the morning.
It's busy. But I'm a busy girl.
I'm really noticing a change in your energy.
Really?
I really am. So I'm championing you on the sidelines here. It's amazing.
You'll be doing my 11-minute stretch. So it feels good. It's like a bit of...
Is there a pre-beginner's class for stretching?
You can do it. Don't worry. We'll go easy on you. I link that YouTube on my story. I have no affiliation with it. Maybe we should do a little stretching one day. Not you and me. Get one of our training girls to do it. Yeah. But I love it. Guys, if you're not a morning routine kind of gal, give it a go.
Guys, think about this.
I was not a journaler until last
episode. When was the last time you updated your settings in your life?
Ooh, right? Okay.
True. That's the point. It's like, it's not.
It's a refresh.
It's not a New Year's resolution. It's an update. You know, when your phone gets those automatic updates.
Or when you change the color in your Outlook.
Or when you organize your apps.
Yeah.
Organize. Get organized. Get an update. Get the update.
Let's update our lives. Update ourselves.
All right. So today...
we're doing a relationship Q&A.
Oh, goodness. And guys, the funny thing here is Till took the initiative, posted it on her stories, and I have no clue what's being asked, so...
But go into detail, okay? Because it's not like this isn't like a quick fire round. Like, we want to know the story. Sometimes we don't, especially this happens with interviews. Don't mean to throw you under the bus here, but...
Thanks, babe.
Because we often say the same thing in a different way a few times, you'll brush over things. People want the detail. We need to go into all the specifics.
Yeah, but I don't focus on history. I'm present. I'm trying to like...
We're doing a podcast. Oh. You need to be doing the detail.
All right, let's go into detail.
Okay. Yep, that is one of the questions.
I just took a random guess. I was like, someone's going to ask how we met.
It says, how did you and Don meet? You go.
Okay, so...
It was a day...
the sun was rising and... No, so I used to work in a supplement. It's actually the weirdest story because Till and I had such different lives before we met each other. So if you're from Perth, you'll know that, you know, there's this division between the north and the south. And, it, you know, it's only a 30, 40 minute drive because the whole of the city is built along the coast. And in the middle of the two ends is the CBD. And, you know, Till lived in the north of Perth and I lived in the south. And we often have an argument about which is better because there's this right.
There's no argument.
The south beats the north of Perth.
Don is delusional. Delusional.
So,
you know, let the southeast think what they want.
So though. We at this point, I was working in the fitness industry and I was managing a supplement store in Perth on St. George's Terrace in the middle of the corporate world.
Like smack bang in the middle of the city, right?
Like we had a little supplement shop in the city buildings. There was no retail environments next door. Or anything like that. It was just literally to service.
Corporate, supplement, corporate.
Here I am, me and my t-shirts and jeans and everyone else is wearing suits and it was quite a fun time. But Till used to shop at her lunch breaks or on her lunch breaks at my store. So you guys have to imagine this. I'm like really swagged out and my snapback and my ripped denims and this hot chick used to come in every single lunch break in her, I remember it was a cute black dress. You had your Louis Vuitton Speedy bag, your oversized sunnies, hair pulled back, and you used to switch between, I think, you know, nude heels. It was often nude or black.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what came to my store every single lunch break.
Yeah, I had my corporate wardrobe, and that was on very high rotation. I walked into the supplement store because I wanted powdered peanut butter. It was so expensive in there. You guys jacked the prices. I don't know. I'm not here.
I didn't control the
price. I don't know about it. I said, you know how expensive this is? I could walk down the road 500 meters to Woolworths and literally get this for half price.
It was a walk down the road 500 meters and buy five.
I don't think I even bought it. I was like, okay. And then I left. Treat them mean, keep them keen.
Literally, that, I'm not going to endorse that kind of behavior.
But to be honest, I think, I'm just going to speak on your behalf here. Everyone, I think, understood Stacks because you had obviously started Stacks. It was a small baby business.
Just to clarify, I did not make baby clothes.
But you had started Stacks, and I think people were trying to get involved, trying to be in the industry. I was not in the industry at all. I was literally working in recruitment next door trying to get some powdered peanut butter. Like, I didn't come in there to try and get anything from you, No, I wasn't trying to get free tights. I didn't want to say it, but it's the truth. I didn't come in and want to get free tights. I just wanted an affordable price for my peanut butter. It is what it is.
And so Till developed this attitude towards our pricing, but then she still kept coming back, which was fascinating. And
I came for a Quest bar.
Because we had this kind of banter, and it was, I don't know, I can't even describe what it was. We were talking, and then she used to come in for her lunch breaks. And do you remember, then you used to spend your whole break, and then I would warm up one of those frozen meals for you, and then I'd...
No. So firstly, you made me that pre-workout. Do you remember?
No, that's right.
I have a really, really high tolerance to caffeine, and at the time you didn't. But I think you were a little player. You used to make a pre-workout for so many girls. You were like, oh, well, this is what you would tell me anyway.
Calm down.
You were like, my magic mix. I don't know. The way you also said it made it so sexual. Like, you were giving me this, like, pre-work. I don't know. Like, I was, maybe that's just my dirty mind. But anyway, Don would make this, like, pre-workout for me. He's like, just take a little bit because, like, it's very caffeinated. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I took some, like, in the evening that night. Didn't do a single thing because my caffeine tolerance was through the roof. I used to drink, like, 4 Lomax topped up, which is, like, a Perth coffee. That's, like, a double shot. So it's 8 coffees a day plus a pre-workout. I was buzzing. Nice. Yeah. So he used to make me that. Like, we would flirt a little bit, but, you know, we'd flirt quite a lot. And then if there was someone else in the store, I then would just pop in and visit him. Oh, no, you got my number.
No, oh. So how I progressed, I mean, this probably also happened at the same time. And then at some point, Till had one of those Lumi cases on her phone. And that stage, yeah. Everyone, I think all the Kardashians were using it. And I was just trying to play it up. And I was like, wow,
the Lumi case is like the iPhone case with the selfie light built in.
I was like, wow, I've never seen one of these before, blah, blah, blah. Can I take a selfie? Grab Till's phone, took a photo of me on her phone. And I was like, oh, do you mind sending it to me, please?
On Instagram.
On Instagram. So she sent it to me on Instagram, and then I was like...
No, you're getting your stories muddled up. So you took the selfie, and maybe that was on Instagram or whatever,
right.
But...
That's how we connected on Instagram.
You took the selfie, yeah. And then anyway, we ended up following each other on Instagram. And then, again, I'd keep coming in every couple of days. It was a couple of days at this point. And Don would talk about this brand called Stacks. And I was like, yeah, whatever, like, working recruitment, busy girl. And he said, he gave me this pair of tights, the ugliest pair of tights I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry, babes.
I resent that statement because when I posted the history the other day on social, people were loving that.
It was sympathy. It was a sympathy vote. So Don handed me this pair of tights and they were like dark blue and light blue. They said passion over everything. The ass part in passion was highlighted. It was a whole ordeal. Anyway. Nonetheless, he says, here, have this pair of tights and take a sexy, you said sexy, because you were like the only man that I knew that used the word sexy. And you were like, hey, sexy, like when I'd come in. And I was like, it wasn't sleazy though. Like it was confident. It was like swag. It's like if Drake said, hey, sexy, do you? Like that was the vibe, you know? Like it was like, it was hot. Like take a sexy picture of yourself in these tights and post on Instagram. Thought, okay, whatever, Don's cute, I'll do it. I leave the store, take my tights, go home. Looking at the tights, like, okay, no worries. Put them on, took a picture, went to post on my Instagram. And I was like, people post on Instagram? I look at my Instagram. It's literally just like the same selfie of me taken with my Lumi case, but different filter. So it's like sepia filter, black and white filter, the same thing. I thought it was just an editing app. Anyway, I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, people are posting on this app. So I delete all of those and I upload this photo of myself in the blue tights. It's a good photo.
It was a great photo.
I think I still look good in that pic.
Sexy.
If you scroll all the way down on my Instagram, you'll see the photo at the very bottom.
Very cool, iconic photo.
It is, yeah. I've deleted a lot of Instagram posts that one stayed.
That pic kicked it off for us.
So anyway, I said to Don, like, he obviously, like, got the tag or whatever in his DMs. And he says, like, he's like, oh, great. Thanks for the pic. The quality, can you send it to me as well? You could screenshot, but no. Can you send it to me? So I sent it through to him on Instagram.
And then I said to him, I was like, look, I really want to repost it on the Stacks account. Can you please text it to me? The quality on Instagram isn't really good.
Bullshit.
And she did, and I got a number.
Mm-hmm. So then that happened. Oh, I hope you guys wanted the full story because this is quite a long one. But then we started going into the store. I would go into the store and, like, you bought me a rose.
At this stage, we were just texting.
Yeah.
Nonstop. And we were courting.
But it also wasn't like we weren't sexting. It was like just like a bit of back and forth banter. I think that I was quite like blasé. Would you say?
You played really hard to get.
I wasn't playing. Like, it was just hard to, like, no, but seriously, I wasn't even trying to play.
I've always known guys love the challenge, but man, I didn't realize it until this point.
I actually didn't know. We never said, like, are you single? Am I single? Like, we were both single, but we never had a conversation like that. Like, we just had a lot of banter.
One of those relationships that sort of evolved. I mean, there was always romantic.
A bit of tension.
Yeah, it was sexual tension.
Yeah.
An attraction. We definitely didn't friend zone each other, but we really just courted for quite a few weeks.
Neither of us were looking for anything. I think that's why.
I think we still, when we got a little bit more involved, we still went through this phase. We were like, look, we just both don't really
want. Well, we both kind of had gotten out of relationships recently, right?
We had just both gotten out of, like, really complicated social relationships. And the truth is, like, I think we're both a little bit messed up from that situation. And I remember us having this conversation saying that, you know, we're just vibing each other. Don't read it the wrong way. I remember this text from you. You said, I like my life the way it is right now. I'm not really looking for anything.
Yeah, that was the truth.
What? And then I was like, okay, this is really complicated, but I'm loving this so much. And then every Friday I would give you a rose.
He gives me a rose. I'd go into the store and he gives me a rose. Like, everyone at work knew that I'd spend, like, my lunch break in the store. And they were always kind of, like, waiting for, like, me to be like, okay, we're, like, dating. Because, like, every single... I love this episode. This is so nice. I love, like...
It's like a trip down memory.
Yeah. Like, in my office, everyone would kind of be waiting for when Don and I would, like, officially be together. Because, like, they knew that I was doing this every lunch break. Like, in the recruitment office, everyone wore flats. But I would wear flats during the day and put my heels on to go and see Don. So anyway, every Friday he'd give me a rose and say, don't read into it. I read one single red fucking rose. Don't read into it. I was reading. I was reading.
I gave that to you for weeks though.
Yeah.
And then I think it was more than a month or something. I want to say 3 months, but I can't remember, before we went on our first date.
Yeah. Well, I remember I'd visit every lunch break unless there was another girl, like, flirting with you in the store. Because that happened quite a lot.
Yeah. But I wasn't, you know, for a fact, it wasn't. I'd see till, because the scene was the scene back then. So I would just be doing my job, you know, trying to sell and be a good sales assistant. And I would see Till walk past the store. I'd see her wanting to come in and she'd, like, look at me and then walk away. And then I know I'd get a text later and I'd be like, babe. I was like, ugh, I just really wish.
No. That's not how it went down. So you would be in the store, sure, doing your job, whatever. And then I would walk past on the terrace and I would see that you're busy in the store with someone else. And so I would just wander and spend my lunch break elsewhere. I wasn't the one that texted. You texted and would say, come back, crying emoji. And I'd say, this is what I reply. You looked busy. That's all. And then I went to my recruitment job, finished my day. And sometimes I would pop in on the way home and say goodbye to you. Sometimes I wouldn't. Keep them guessing. You don't want to become too available for them.
Look, I'm not gonna ruin it for my brothers, but man, like, your strategy then really, really worked. And it was harsh, but anyway, here we are.
But I wasn't here to compete with another girl. Like, if you were busy in there flirting, you go do your thing. I'm going back to work. I'm going to the office. I've got my busy life to live.
But I was not flirting with other girls. I was just...
I actually don't think I even... Famous last words. So anyway, then we officially started dating. It took a while. I think, I don't know how many months. I wasn't counting because I really didn't expect it.
Yeah, we weren't like... It was the most amazing process and you know, I see great value in people dating, getting to know each other before really getting too deep into it. I remember our first date was to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you chose the movie.
Girl on a Train.
And I just went with it. It's not the usual movie I'd watch.
It's like a murder mystery, criminal, and dark movie.
Sat there and I was looking at this movie and I think to myself, is this really the kind of person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I'd love these kinds of movies. I was reading.
Apparently so. Apparently so.
But then you held my hand in the movie and, you know, the rest is history.
I think he held my hand. I don't think I would have held your hand.
I think I texted you in the days and I was like, hey, just,
oh, yeah,
I'm going to hold your hand tonight.
And you also said you're going to kiss me.
Yeah.
You didn't kiss me.
I got nervous when I dropped you.
So that's how we started dating. And yeah, that's cute.
And kids, that's how I met your mother.
I love that. Do you and Don know each other's love languages? Are they the same or different? I don't know my love language. What's my... I haven't done the quiz.
Your love language is words of affection.
Oh, yeah. Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. You like gifts.
Yes.
I think that's every girl's love language.
My love language is all of them.
But the most important one for you is words of affirmation.
I like to feel appreciated. Yeah. I like a nice text to say things, to say, no, you don't have to tell me in real life.
So what I've decided to do from now on is for birthdays and...
Oh, no.
I'm just going to be writing a poem or leaving you a voice note.
A voice note? No, never voice note me.
I might even sing it.
We just said that gifts and words of affirmation, same level. So go shopping, baby. What are yours?
You tell me.
Physical touch.
Yeah.
Physical touch and quality time. No, I'm just going to say physical touch is your number one. Yeah.
And gifts.
And gifts, yeah.
Any specific gifts?
But gifts, love languages are really important to understand as well. I want to do my actual like love language quiz because I have heard that a lot of people...
You've done the short version. I think you've done the online.
But I don't remember it.
But we often speak about this one and I think... Sorry, I don't want to hijack your point, but I think we're about to say exactly the same thing, that it's so important to understand how to communicate with your partner on their level. So the expectation is set because... If you're just buying your girl flowers and presents and, you know, guys are hard when it comes to the emotional communication part. If you're providing this and providing this and it's not what she needs, you guys aren't connecting.
Yeah, she's not going to feel loved.
It's very important to understand what's the way that your partner needs to receive their love.
But both men and women, I think both partners need to do the quiz so you guys can really understand each other. Because like Don said, if you're spoiling your girl with gifts, but she really wants quality time, she's never going to feel like completely satisfied in the relationship.
It's a beautiful and complex concept.
Another question. How do you overcome feeling insecure? I think when I don't really feel insecure now, and I hate that that's my answer. I'm sorry.
That's come with maturity, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it has taken a while because I remember when I was still working in recruitment and Don would do photo shoots, for example, with these models. And I would be watching his story. I'd be watching their story. I would be like the first person to watch everybody's story because I was insecure that something was happening with these beautiful models. And that has everything to do with me and my feelings, nothing to do with Don. And I think that's like proof in that now, 7 years on, I have no feelings of insecurity because Don has never given me a reason to feel insecure. I really do think that you are the playbook of how to be a partner in a relationship because it's the truth. Don doesn't give me any reason to feel insecure. No, we're with like literally supermodels, fitness shoots, girls in G-strings, people wandering around. Like, and it sounds like Playboy Mansion, but you know, if
I reflect now, which shoes are those?
Yeah, but you know, that's what happens. And I do not at all feel insecure because you don't make any decisions or any choices that would ever make me feel that way.
Yeah, but I think it's because we're a team. And I mean, we are lucky because we get to work with each other. We get to do every single thing together. So we're always included in each other's life and story. And I think that, I mean, if the question is revolving around relationships, I think the best way to avoid insecurity in a relationship is just to be able to communicate open and honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You should never feel like you have to hide anything from your partner unless it's a surprise.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I'm going to speak for the both of us. If I wanted to go through your phone, like if I need to text someone, call someone, whatever, I can grab Don's phone if I need to. I would never go through his phone simply because I feel like I might come across something I don't want to see, such as a surprise that he's organizing for me. And I think vice versa. Like,
but we also have a certain level of trust because like it's like Till mentioned, like I've got hot friends.
Yeah.
Like we share so many hot girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they're hot. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a fact.
But you know your boundaries as well. Like we'll be out with someone and they'll be talking about their boobs and blah, blah, blah. Or like their top has broken and they're sitting there holding their boob. Don's not there looking at their boob. Like Don is so respectful.
And I think that everyone has to. I mean, by the way, it takes like a certain level of integrity and discipline as well. Because even in in my job, you know, I'm a female fashion designer predominantly. So I'm always doing fittings with girls. Like, I'm always doing crop tops and bike shorts and underwear and all our designs. I'm fitting it on female models. It's important to sort of understand what those boundaries are.
Communication is the key, though, because I know when we started dating, I did have to kind of pull you up on a couple of things, right? Like, you would call people babe in text.
Yeah.
And you would do these different things. And I did have to say to him, look, like, that makes me feel uncomfortable, or doing this makes me feel uncomfortable. And
but I also had to listen to that. And I also had to, like, think, you know, how would that make the person I love feel?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make those adjustments and improvements.
I think something that people have to make sure they're not doing is, I know that I just spoke about, like, playing hard to get or whatever. I wasn't necessarily playing hard to get. That's just kind of my personality. I'm not this, would you say I'm super needy? I'm pretty.
Yes.
No,
you're not.
I'm chill with things. Yeah, I'm independent. I think the way you go into a relationship needs to be the way you stay in the relationship. Because if I went into this relationship with Don and I internally felt so insecure about the models that he was working with, the way he was acting on photo shoots, the pet names he was calling people, all this kind of stuff as an example, and I never said anything about it, and 7 years later, nothing's changed and I'm still feeling insecure, but I haven't said anything about it, that's really not got to do with Don. That's got to do with the expectation and the standard you set for yourself at the start of the relationship, right? Like, at the start of the relationship, if something is making you feel insecure or a certain way, you need to communicate that with the person. If they don't receive the information and they don't want to change, that's not the person for you. I just think the person for you will change, will receive the information, will do whatever it takes to make you feel good. And if they're not going to do it, it's not the right person. But you don't want to leave it for 7 years and then be like, hey, I hate the way this happened, that you do this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's like a level of compromise and a level of understanding in this situation. You know, when communication is a two-way street, there's two elements in it, talk and listen, listen and talk. So if you're just talking to your person or your partner and they're not really listening to you, it's counterproductive and it's not working. But even if you reflect on our situation, you know, the changes I had to make was not change who I am or change my lifestyle, right? Because nothing in our life has changed. We are still surrounded by models. We're still surrounded by hot girls. I'm still doing the shoots. I'm still doing the design. So that hasn't changed. But what has changed is the little micro actions or the cute activities or the things I might say in a certain way that doesn't align with our values in our relationship. I think that's an important part as well. I think my point I'm trying to make is you shouldn't go and try and change your partner.
No,
you shouldn't try and force them to change who they are or what they're about.
Because then they'll probably just do that in secret then, right?
Yeah, and they'll resent you for it. The key is that we all grow together. So I had to make some change, but you also had to make, if we just focus on that example, and there are many in our relationship, by the way, but we both had to grow together. You know, we both had to learn a new culture in life and how we wanted to establish and build our new culture and our new family together. And it takes compromise on both parties to want to grow and learn, but we didn't try to change each other.
No.
I voiced my things to you and you made changes on your own and I accepted it the way it was and vice versa. And I think that is a key, a fundamental key in building.
If one is feeling insecure now, what would be the steps? I think communication is just the key always. And like, as a loving partner, if your partner comes to you with something that is not making them feel good, you want to change it. Like, if you came to me and said, like, hey, babe, you did this and it made me feel like this. God, I would hate that. But I would be like, I'm so sorry. And I would take action to not do it again. And that's the key.
Yeah, that is the key. Let's take that question to another step that's not related to relationships. So in terms of insecurities, if it's not relationship-based, let's say it's body insecurities or it's insecurities about yourself, you know, how do you process that or how do you overcome that?
Okay, so if you are feeling insecure because he has like all these hot friends and you're not feeling hot yourself.
It's got nothing to do, not in the relationship as such, just in life, in as an insecurity. So for example, let's say body insecurity. How would you overcome body insecurities?
I guess learning to love yourself is going to be the number one key. Like, you have to feel, insecurity comes from not feeling enough, right? And not feeling like you're deserving of the love or the respect that maybe someone else is getting. So I think it's going to start with like self-reflection and learning to love yourself first, and then other people can love you. If you don't love yourself, then other people won't be able to love you.
Yeah, I love that.
Do you think? I don't know. That's a hard question. What's your thoughts?
That is hard. I think the key always is to understand who you are and love yourself first.
And confidence. It's about building confidence. I know that I've said, I feel like the answer just came to me. I know that I've said this before. It was Ed Milet who had came up with this theory or taught me this theory. And he said that confidence is the action of keeping promises to yourself. So if you go to bed in the evening and you set an alarm for 6 a.m. to do your morning routine, and 6 a.m. the alarm goes off and you think, ugh, fuck this, not doing it today, 6:30. You've broken a promise to yourself. Like, at the end of the day, you are the person that you can rely on, and you are the person that you have. You have to feel confident and you have to love yourself, because there's no one else.
It always starts with yourself, even in a relationship. You know, we all have insecurities, I think. I don't think there's anyone in life that can get through life and say, I don't have one insecurity. We all have those little things that we always, and it's not, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It's something that you have to double think. It's something that you have to think twice about of, ah, am I going to take my shirt off at the beach, or
am I going to talk slower on a podcast?
Seriously.
Literally.
We all have those things, but I think it comes down to understanding who you are. I always think about...
It comes down, like, do you understand why I said that confidence bit though? Like, 100%. It comes to, like, building these small habits and ticking off these things, ticking off these things that you promised yourself you will do will make you more confident. And I think that'll kind of get rid of some insecurity, because you know who you are, you feel strong about who you are, and confidence is a muscle.
I fucking love myself.
I know.
You have to, but you have to get through this life. Like, you can't go through life.
You can't be at battle with yourself.
You can't, but you also can't rely on other people to love you to make you feel accomplished and feel whole. Like, it's with everything I do, even creatively. You know, as an artist, like anything we put out there, I don't really care what other people think. I really don't. As long as I love it, I know we're on a good path. And in some weird reverse psychology way, having that approach and attitude towards things somehow makes other people love it. But when you bring insecurity across in your work, yourself, other people pick up on that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think so. I think, and insecurities, like, it work on them. And I don't mean that to just, I don't want to offend anyone by that, but it's the truth. But for example, one of my insecurities is how I sound on the podcast. So I'm working on how I sound on the podcast. If your insecurity is about something else and there's steps you can take, work on it, but do it for you. Do it because you want to do it, and it'll make you feel better and make you feel more confident, not anybody else.
Impress yourself. No, we should all stop trying to impress other people. It's human nature to try and impress other people, but impress yourself. That's my final thought on that. Do the things that you can do to impress yourself. All right, next question.
How does your relationship change at work versus home?
Ooh.
That's a good one.
No, it's a good one, but I feel like it doesn't.
Oh, I think it does.
Go on.
Well, when we're at work, we are quite professional.
We don't talk in our...
We're not... Our little baby language. I'm in a separate office. It's different. We've got completely different jobs. I think that's what some people can't comprehend. Like, I say this example, like, I'm not sitting on Don's lap while we type an email, like, one letter each, you know? We've got completely different to-do lists and completely...
Sounds fun, though.
Completely different jobs, completely different to-do lists. We are in different departments. Yeah, I mean, we don't avoid each other or anything, but we don't spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, but
at work.
But I don't think that's our relationship that's changing. Like, I think that, I mean, it's a great question.
There's no baby voices.
No, but like, we're still like, I'll come into the office and kiss you, and I'll give you a cuddle. You will come sit on my lap during
lunch.
Not in the middle of a meeting, but we'll hang out with it. Like, yeah. We towards each other, we don't change. We you know, we won't go make out in front of the team, or but sometimes I would go kiss two in front of the team.
It's not like snogging.
No, but that, we are who we are, and that doesn't change. The way we talk to each other always has respect and integrity, irrespective. I think there's boundaries and lines that we don't cross at work, but
we don't do anything to make our staff feel uncomfortable.
No, but the fundamentals of our relationships always stays the same.
And
I've never really thought about this question, so I'm exploring it with you.
Right, yeah, now. And then I think when we get home, well, when we're at work as well, we don't bring up home things.
Yeah,
that's a big one. I treat something the same. Something happened the other day that upset me, but I'm not sitting in the office crying about it. Nothing to do with Don, personal life things. I still treat that like you would if you were in a corporate situation. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the key. We treat work as work.
So yes.
If we're not going to bring our home problems to work, the same way we wouldn't expect
it. Don and I aren't in a boardroom, and I'm like, yeah, you didn't do the dishes, put the dishes on last night. Or
there also isn't, there's that respect as well. I am the boss at work. You know, you wouldn't necessarily challenge me in front of the team, or but you would quietly after it, you sit with me like, babe, I think this and that, and then we'll, you know, I'll completely change my way. But
yes.
We have professional respect for each other in the workplace.
We do. And if Don is, you know, hosting a meeting and says something that I don't agree with, I am not going to challenge him there and then on it.
Vice versa.
As you wouldn't someone else, you would, you know, address them personally afterwards. I think we are pretty professional, you know, in our workplace. And then at home, I wouldn't say we're professional. But it's,
I mean, sometimes.
But I mean, at home, we're still the same people. I guess we just like talk in our little baby voices. How's home life different? It's the same.
We are so lame at home, though. Like, with the way we talk to each other, it's so cringe, but I love it.
I know. But it's the same as any other relationship and couple.
I've heard some horror stories of how couples work together, how like the husband and wife would fight with each other at work, or they would have goes at each other and put staff in. They would involve staff in their personal problems.
Make staff like pick a side.
That's not
how we never
at home anyway.
We also don't, I mean, we don't carry on arguments. That's the thing, is like we will continue and have a hard conversation at home then and there and work through whatever you and I are disagreeing on. We don't just like go to bed and then go to work the next day and have something dragging on. We don't drag on anything. Life's too short.
We have a rule. We never go to bed upset with each other.
Yeah, life is way too short for that. I'll never leave you know, even at the end of the day, if ever all the staff have gone home, it's normally just Don and I here and we'll work late. And if we have a disagreement, then I'm not going to drive home. We'll sit there, have a shit conversation, and I hate it because I'm one that wants to just leave. But we don't. We work through things. We don't let things drag on. So there's no time that we would bring something that happened at home to work or something that happens at work to home because we deal with it then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think then there's another question. It says, how to balance a work-life balance when doing business with your partner?
I think it's just understanding boundaries. The same as like the relationship question, like we all have a boundary, and Till and I are lucky in our situation, you know, fashion is our passion, you know, our work is our life. It's not like we have this job that's not exciting and that just ends after people go home. Like it's integrated in our lifestyle and who we are as people. We can share in every work aspect pretty much 24/7, but you know, we have some lines, we have some boundaries. For example, you know, if there's big business decisions we have to make or in-depth business discussions, after hours, we don't speak about it at home unless absolutely necessary. And we would always check in with each other. You know, if we're watching a show, if I want to relax, or Till be like, hey, babe, business question. Or I'd be like, hey, babe, can we just discuss this quick? And if the other person's like, look, I'm not really in the mood right now, that's it. They can wait until tomorrow, right?
That's definitely something that I think we have to constantly work on, is just like checking in as well, because sometimes something pressing will happen and I'll want to share it or ask the question, or Don will want to share it and ask the question. The other person's not really in the mood to do it. Sometimes you just have to do it though. That's the thing. Like, you know, it can be 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and something's come up and we need to discuss it. We just need to discuss it. But at the same time, Don will get home from work. Sometimes I'm watching like runway shows on YouTube. Don sits down. That's still work. Yeah, that's still our business and it's still work, but it's also our hobby. So
it's our passion.
Our passion. So I don't think there's like a strict line between like business and pleasure. Like, we're really lucky because it's not like we're, for example, tax accountants who, I don't know, that's not that interesting to me. So when we get home, we're not talking about tax, you know, we're talking about things that we love and we have passion for.
But even, I think that's where, for me, I draw the line as well. Even for my own mental health and my own stress is like, you know, I posted the other day in one of the questions I was asking, I was like, my job is a hell of a lot stressful than people would realize. The amount of shit I have to deal with on a daily basis, one part of what I do that starts before 7 a.m. and starts after 7 p.m. is my creative design work. You know, designing and working all the creative for the brand, that's the fun part. That's where I get to switch off and literally just draw pictures and, you know, research and have fun. But, you know, for the 10 hours between that, I'm running the business. I'm dealing with legal. I'm dealing with contracts. I'm dealing with the finances, I'm dealing with the problems, I'm dealing with the issues. So again, like checking your default setting, my entire day is full of me dealing with problems. But the last thing I want to do is take those problems home with me after I leave the office. So I've mentally, when I leave the office, I'm mentally check out of having to deal with problems. And I'm like, I can wait for that tomorrow. That's tomorrow's problem.
I think it's the same as you would any relationship. Like if someone's had something go wrong, at the end of the day, they're still going to come home and talk about it with their partner and share it. So we still do that. But yeah, actually, I'm going to change my mind a little bit on what I said, because I just thought about all of the crap that you have to deal with. Crap. All of the things, hard things that you have to deal with every day. You don't bring them home to me in the evenings. And I'm thankful for that. I
discussed that with you.
I don't have the capacity to deal with that.
But you see, I understand that in any business setting, you wouldn't probably want to do a CEO's job.
No.
You know what I mean? So I know that, you know, even though Till and I run the business together, we operate in different departments and have different jobs. That was her point that she made.
We're not a shared CEO. And you can't, I think there's a couple more questions, but maybe we'll just finish on this question. Yeah. I think that that's something important too. I heard it on the Skinny Confidential the other day. They were saying that in order to work with each other, you can't do a shared CEO. That's not going to work in a relationship, because the balance, there always needs to be one person that makes the final decision. And in a relationship, that is so important to know who it is in the business setting. And that's Don. And I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to be a CEO. I'm not the CEO of Stacks. That's Don.
And that's why you don't fight about anything.
Yeah. I think that's why, yeah, 100%, because we know our roles. And there has to be that one person who can say, okay, this is that, like, and draw the line, and that's that.
But the cool thing here is we have the same goal and the same vision. Mm-hmm. So we trust each other's decisions. Like, even in Till's department, I'm not really too involved. You know, from a CEO's perspective, everything goes by me and I share my creative input as a creative director as well. But I trust what the PR team is doing, for mm-hmm. example. I entirely trust your department, and I trust your vision and what you're trying to bring to that space. And it's just back to like the problematic stuff. Like there's so much that goes on in my day that I'm not sharing with you because it's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in your responsibility to deal with the shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's, I think, how we balance things and work so well together. And it's a very similar concept in our home life as well, right? Like we don't really fight each other's decisions. We sort of know who gets to make a decision here and then. We sort of just trust each other and go with it and believe in it.
And a lot of the time we want to make the same decision anyway. It's crazy how that we usually just see eye to eye on things immediately, which we're very blessed for. But if we don't, we hear each other out and we'll make an informed decision.
Yeah, we have a
slash I win. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, most of the time. That comes with time. That comes with learning about each other and really understanding.
Learning each other's strength.
One thing I'll tell you guys about Till is like what we
go on. Here's a word of affirmation, I hope.
One key thing in our relationship that I've learned is Till has a superpower beyond her new. How did you put in the last one?
My new podcast voice. Calmness.
Your calmness. Till's new superpower that she's trying to develop is her calmness, but her main superpower is her intuition. So a lot of decisions in the past that have gone against her intuition based on my decision hasn't probably been the right decision. So we've learned from that. And now I'm quite lucky because, you know, I'll float an idea by her and I'll say, what's your gut tell you? And if Till's gut's feeling funny about it, I'm so lucky to have this superpower in my arsenal, because I'll literally just insert my question into this machine, Till's intuition. And if she says no to something, I'm like, cool, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
If she says yes to something, if she sees it and she feels it, I know it's going to be a success. And that's something you have to develop and learn in a relationship as well.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks for having that superpower, my love.
I know we've got more questions, but maybe we'll do round two because it's probably too long.
Guys, if you love the Q&A, if you love us...
Q&As, you guys know Q&As are my thing. It's my favorite thing to do. So we love doing Q&As on the podcast, and it's nice doing like rapid fire at Don because he doesn't know what's coming. I could ask us some really nice questions about myself. Your favorite thing about Till?
All right, we're gonna end the podcast at that one. Guys, we love you so much. Thank you for enjoying the podcast with us. It's been such a blast being back and consistent.
If you like Q&As, sorry, I interrupted you. It's a bad habit, but if you like Q&As, let us know, because we like to do them. We have all the answers.
We love you.
Bye.